podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This week on the show, we review all 10 of the new liveries for the 2023 season, and we speak to seven-time world champion Lewis Hamilton.
Can't remember the last time I felt as excited to get in the car.
We also speak to George Russell and Mick Schumacher.
Goodman, and you're listening to the fantastic Cut to the Race podcast.
Hello, my name is Brian Mylander, and you're listening to the Formula Nerds podcast.
Hi, I'm Rosanna Tennant, and you are listening to the incredible Cut to the Race podcast.
Hi, I'm Jordan King, and you're listening to the Formula Nerds podcast.
Hi, I'm Crofty. You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out, and away we go!
Welcome to the Cut to the Race podcast. This is the show where we bring you incredible interviews, race reviews, and the latest F1 news. I'm your host, Ollie, and today it is the first show, really, of the season, of the 2023 season. And with me, we have Abby. How are you, Abby?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm happy to be back recording podcasts with you guys regularly. So how are you, Ollie?
I'm all right. Thank you for asking. But you've just got back from Dublin. So how are you feeling? Did you have a nice time?
I did. I had a lovely time. I'm a bit tired because we had a late flight last night. But I'm good because I enjoyed it. And now I'm here with you three.
Good. Well, I'm drinking a Guinness just, you know, to keep the Dublin vibe going. We also have Sam. How are you, Sam?
I'm good. Thank you, Ollie. I'm drinking a beer, a water. I don't know why I'm showing you. And also a coffee from my dinosaur mug.
Your stomach's going to be a lovely place with all that mixed together, isn't it?
I mean, that's a bit of an odd thing to say, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
And we've also got James McKenzie. How are you today, James?
I'm all right, yeah. A bit cold and rushed through Paris to get here on my scooter back from a horrible commentary where an African team were barely visible to me. So I'm very glad to be back on a more enjoyable way to spend an evening.
I just love the vision of you on your scooter going through Paris going, I must get back for Cut to the Race. Anyway,
I haven't figured out Cut to the Race in French yet.
Go on, have a little think whilst we tell you what's coming up. So coming up today on the show, we are going to discuss the liveries and the car launches. We're going to go through them, tell you what we thought of each one, which were our favourite, which ones were not. We're going to have a little chat with the Mercedes drivers, Lewis Hamilton, George Russell and Mick Schumacher. But to kick off, we're going to talk about deliveries and car launches. So we're going to do these in order of the dates that they were launched. It just seems to make a bit more sense to me. So obviously that means that we're starting with the Haas. Now, Haas has obviously taken a new approach to their livery. It's not completely white. It's pretty much reversed. I mean, Sam, I'm going to start with you. What do you think of the Haas VF 23?
I loved it at first. I still like it a lot. But there's a few things that niggle at me. I think they've done the whole exposed carbon thing pretty well. It'll look fairly well integrated. I like the black. It reminds me of a kind of 90s Tyrrell. But, and I feel like James might also feel the same, it looks great from a side profile, but from the front, it looks like an entirely different car. It looks quite similar to last year's car. So from different angles, it's almost like it's two different cars on the grid. It's a bit odd in that sense. So really, we're going to have to wait and see how it looks on track to give it a full judgment.
And James, what do you make of the Haas? I know Sam said you seem to agree with him. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, very similar. And I also made that connection with the Tyrrell. It's the one that was sponsored by PAAK. I can't remember, but I can picture Mika Salo in it. Is that the one you're thinking of? About what? 90?
Well, the 98 one, the PIA one. PIAA?
Yeah, maybe that was the one. Actually, no, that was...
I feel like it was earlier.
I think I might have missed two Tyrrells. Anyway.
Yeah, you've missed two Tyrrells together and got six wheels.
But they've kind of mushed two Haases together. So, yeah, I don't know. I yeah. basically exactly what Sam said, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to agree that from the front, I've just looked at it again. It does look like last year's car. That's quite, it's quite bizarre. Abby, what's your take on the new Haas?
Well, it didn't remind me of a Tyrrell, I can tell you that. But
do you know what
it.
A Tyrrell is, Abby?
Yes, I'm a bit younger than you guys, as we've covered before. But
you weren't even born when Tyrrell Racing.
No,
VAR by the time you were born.
Exactly. No, I like it. I like the addition of the black. Like you guys said, it from the front, it does resemble last year's car, but I do like the fact that they have added more black this year. I like the combination with the red and the white. It's not my favourite, but I feel like it is an improvement of 2022.
I'll say that they've incorporated the MoneyGram logo quite well. What could have been like quite a difficult, it could have come out looking pretty gaudy, I think. They've done okay with that. And yeah, I'll give them that.
Either the hive mind is already in full swing this episode, or you're just reading my piece that I wrote on the liveries.
Oh, and there's a good chance that that's why that's in my brain.
And I quote, but nevertheless, it looks great in my view. It does well to work in the logo of the new sponsor MoneyGram, which could have been really garish.
Gaudy instead of garish. So
Gaudy, yeah.
The one thing I did notice was Palm Angels there at the bottom of the car. And because I'm such a hip, trendy, fashionable man, I had to Google what that was. Now, this is a fashion brand, right, where you can buy a T-shirt for the small sum of £199. Did you guys clock this on the car?
Ridiculous. It looks like a tramp stamp tattoo, to be honest. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
I think Gunter Steiner would love that. But I see what you mean. All right, that was the Haas. Let's move on to the Red Bull. Now, this might be quite a quick conversation, but I do want to talk about the car launch. In terms of what the car looked like, I'm going to give one word around the table. Abby, I'm going to start with you. One word. What did you think of the Red Bull?
Standard.
good answer, Sam.
Same.
Oh, that was mine. Yeah, same.
Yeah, similar, standard, it's the same.
Same, but not different.
Yeah. So we were presented on the 3rd of February with the same looking car from last year in New York. Now, I would just want to talk about the launch here because, oh my God, did it drag on. Did you guys watch it live?
I did not.
I saw parts of it live. I know it took a very long time to actually get to the car launch. I think they were speaking to other Red Bull athletes, including like a fencer and a freestyle skier or something, which is great because they're promoting the Red Bull brand. But for F1 fans, it's an F1 car launch. And at the end of the day, we just really want to see the livery, which we know will be the same. But it did take quite a while for it.
Yeah, I mean, they may as well just tweet saying, oh, yeah, by the way, we haven't changed anything.
Yeah.
See you at the first race. Save the money.
It's so similar. Like, it genuinely looked like they just took the covers off last year's car. Aside from Rocket being added in the place of something I can't remember what used to be there, but they could have moved the stickers about a bit. And not to quote Sam's article again, but he said, you know, something, a bit of gold for getting the championships, or, you know, just do something.
Yeah, and it launching in New York, again, we've got nothing against the location of America. I love America. I was there the day before they launched it in New York, but there seemed to be no reason to have it in New York. There wasn't any, you know, I was walking around the day before, there wasn't any sort of Red Bull activity. The whole thing seemed strange to me, and it took an hour to show the same car, which was particularly frustrating. Let's move on to Williams, which was released on the 6th of February. Now, this one was a little bit more popular. James, let's hear your take on the Williams for this year.
I love it. It's in my top three. I think, you know, I liked last year's a lot to start with. And obviously it got more and more carbon as the year went on, as we all know. But they've incorporated the carbon into this one better. And I know it's like a bit more contentious, but I love the Duracell. On the nose cone, on the airbox. I think it's brilliant. And also, as someone who's about to, or in the process of decorating my living room, kind of dark blue and like bronzy copper, then like it's well in exactly in my area.
I thought you were going to say you're going to have some batteries in your living room, but okay, Sam.
Well, I'm sure you would in like a TV remote, but I thought you were going to say you're painting your room like a battery. Like, I've just got Duracell bunnies everywhere, mate. I just love that guy. James has said pretty much everything I said in my piece. It's the fourth best livery for me. But yeah, because the exposed carbon trend is from day one this year, everyone knows they need to do it, they've been able to integrate it much more seamlessly than they did last year, because they were a team that were quite aggressive with that weight-saving ploy. So, yeah, I think it looks great. They've slightly refined some of the kind of curves of the paint job and the livery to make it follow the bodywork better at this point. So, yeah, I think they've made an improvement on that, on what was already a really good livery.
Yeah, it is nice. Abby, any other thoughts?
Not really. Like James, the Williams livery is in my top three. And I really love the different shades of blue that they've got. I feel like they've got more shades because the carbon's more subtly incorporated into it. And like the guy said, with the Duracell battery, that is a really clever way to incorporate that onto the livery as well. So it's a really nice looking car, the Williams, for me.
Can we just quickly caveat, though, that... And I know, Abby, you already know, but a surprising number of people have been like, oh, it's really clever they've done that. As if it's brand new this year. They did do it last year as well, which I thought was quite strange. I thought it was quite an obvious thing they did. I think they first did it in Miami. But anyway, that's just me being a dick.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, Sam, I didn't notice them doing it last year, but maybe that's because they did it further on. I do like the golf on the rear wing. I think obviously that's a lovely touch. It does go with the rest of the car. But yes, the Williams, a definite improvement from last year. I like it. It's something it's a car I would have a picture of on my wall. It's that nice. But next on the list, we have Alfa Romeo. Now, this one is dividing people's opinions. Some people love it, some people hate it. I'm going to go out there and say I absolutely love it. I think it looks mega. And what I'm going to do is hand it to Sam, because I know that he has a contrasting opinion on this.
I do. I really liked it on launch. I liked it on launch. I went as far as saying it was very smart. So clearly it wasn't, you know, completely taken by it. And I'm toing and froing on it. I'm flip-flopping. Some days I'm like, no, I'm definitely liking it less and less. And then I take a look at it from a different angle and I think, maybe. I feel like it's a good livery, but there are better liveries out there. I think the white from last year worked better. And also the font of the stake logo really bothers me. I think it looks cheap and tacky and not very in keeping with the Alfa Romeo brand.
Well, it very much clashes with the Alfa font that is right next to it. To the surprise of no one, I agree almost completely with Sam. I can't make up my mind on it. Some days I like it more than others. I think though it's too similar to the Ferrari. They've lost a bit of their identity for me. I like the deeper red with the white and a little bit. I could always take more green on the Alfa because there's not that much green. There's obviously Aston. That's a very specific green on the grid. It's all right. But yeah, I don't know.
I think they've obviously gone to black partly because of the whole exposed carbon trend. And I just feel like if you're going to do it, do it. And it's like, it's kind of been half incorporated, but not completely incorporated. So yeah, I don't really know how I feel about it.
Maybe slightly going back on myself here, I've just thought about it. Now, Stake is it's a online casino gambling, which I'm just to be open, I'm not a fan of these things. But red and black, have they dictated those colours? Obviously, it fits in very nicely with the carbon fibre thing, but it's very half red, half black, which is a gambling thing, right?
It's a good point.
I think, if anything, it's probably more Audi's, say, towards... I think it's grey and red that Audi always used to race with in endurance racing. So I think it could be more of their sway than Stakes. But who knows? It's a perfectly valid option or hypothesis.
and that's all it is. Abby, what's your take on the Alfa Romeo?
When it was launched, I really didn't like it because I do prefer last year's car with the red and the white. But looking at it more, it's growing on me. But I still prefer last year's car. It with the black, it does kind of feel like it's just a block of red, a block of black, and a block of red. I feel like they haven't incorporated the black very well, but it looks smart. I've rated it higher than I thought I would when I've ranked all the liveries, but it's not my favourite. I prefer the red and the white.
Is that because you like it on merit, or is it more that you particularly dislike some of the other ones that kind of then by, you know, kind of by default, it kind of ends up higher up your list?
Yeah, it's because I dislike the other ones more. I was doing and throwing between Alfa Romeo and another livery. Alfa Romeo ended up being higher than that one, which we will come to. But yeah, it's nice, but it could be better.
Okay, so some split opinions on the Alfa Romeo. And I think we're going to have some split opinions on the AlphaTauri. Now, to kick off, Sam's article on formulanerds.com, he's rated this the worst. And by when I say worst, he's put it in 10th. He's given it 5 out of 10. Sam, I disagree with you. I definitely don't think it's the worst. It's sort of similar to last year, but it just seems like they whacked a load of other stuff on it to sort of colour it up a bit. This is the one that I'm 50-50 on, and I keep changing my mind. Some days I like it, some days I hate it. I do like the red and the blue, but then you've got orange thrown in at the front. It's I can see why it's dividing opinions. Abby, I'm going to throw it to you to kick off on the AlphaTauri.
I agree with Sam. I rated this as my worst, my least favourite, because the orange on the end plates, first of all, to me, doesn't really fit with the car. It's the only splash of orange on there and it doesn't really go. You then have the blue and the black, and that kind of clashes because the blue is such a dark blue. It then clashes with the black along the bottom. And compared to the others, for me, it just doesn't look as nice.
Yeah, it's exactly that. The exposed carbon clashes with the blue. The orange, it doesn't bother me as much, but the all-in red... And it's a real, really, really particular type of red. It's quite a light kind of nothingy red, in my opinion. I don't think it works with the AlphaTauri Navy either. And Alfa Romeo had this issue last year where the all-in red was slightly different to the Alfa Romeo red and it clashed and it didn't look good. And that's my issue. But the biggest thing, the single biggest thing for me is that we know AlphaTauri can make lovely, lovely liveries. And this isn't. So it almost does more harm because of it. If we didn't have high expectations, I wouldn't be so upset.
Yeah, I mean, AlphaTauri is a fashion brand and they've produced a horrible looking car, in my opinion, and in Sam's opinion and in Abby's opinion. It's, yeah, like that clash. I think what really makes it clash for me is the fact that it's, well, you say it's a nothingy red, Sam. For the first time tonight, we disagree slightly. It's like quite a vibrant, high visy kind of red to me. And that's what makes it clash so much with the kind of matte, dull navy blue. Like they don't go together. One's too bright and one's too subtle.
But what about, right, and this is something that I know we've discussed before, what about the wheel covers? Now, they've done a little sort of tribal design. How would you explain it on the wheel cover? I thought it was quite original.
It looks like they've cracked out Need for Speed Underground too.
Yeah.
It does. Been like, right, decals
from the windows
everywhere.
To the walls.
Did that come out before Abby was born as well? We're going to depress ourselves.
It would have. I think it was 2002.
Just after.
2002, yeah.
I'll go check. It could be 2049.
But yeah, I quite like those, having been a Need for Speed fan. All right, moving on. We have got now one of what I think we'll all agree on, which is the Aston Martin AMR 23. This, I don't think anyone can dispute, is a gorgeous car. Anyone want to take me on that? No,
you're right.
Silence speaks volumes there, doesn't it?
It does. About the changes from last year, though, anyone want to call out what the changes are? Because they're quite difficult to spot.
Okay, so first of all, exposed carbon has been incorporated from day one. Last year, on launch, the front wing was green. There was a lot more fluorescent yellow. I think the back wing was green as well. And you had fluorescent yellow at the top of the engine cover as well. It was just, there was more of it in that sense. So they've kind of done away with a lot of that. There's a lot of exposed carbon at the front and the rear and the bottom of the car. The Aston Martin logo is white, not fluorescent yellow. So it's a much more green and white livery than previous. And I'm kind of going back and forth as to which one I prefer. I can't quite decide. Because they've been able to incorporate exposed carbon from day one, it works better. You might have noticed last year they cut away a lot of the paint from the back of the engine cover and it looks really kind of not great. A few things, the Boss logo on the front wing end plate looks really good. Yeah. Also, it's a very racy shape, the AirPods, like the headphones.
Yes, they're not AirPods.
What are those things? Side pods. Yeah. I was going to say, what are the things on the side? Yeah, they're side pods. Quite an aggressive shape, so it works quite well. They're the key changes I can immediately notice.
My one small gripe is that I still don't like the JCB on it. Like, it's JCB as a brand is, you know, like bulldozers. It's not very James Bond if we're talking Aston Martin. And also the yellow clashes with the lime yellow of Aston. But yeah, no, I mean, it's a great looking car. And it shows that simplicity is sometimes the way forward. It's pretty much one neon yellow line on a very nicely coloured car. And it looks great.
At one point I have said, and James, I'm assuming you're not a Nisloppy fan.
Your
hatred of JCB. I know. Ollie's looking at me like, what are you all about? Abby, you might be getting too young to remember this, but the JCB song.
That's what I thought you were going on about, but yeah, don't, Sam.
No, I'm not going to sing it. Don't worry. But I feel that this generation of car, a low line of bright colour that flows towards the back, much like you get with the Aston, like you get with the Mercedes, like you did have a couple of years ago with the AlphaTauri, I think it really, really works. It just, the way it undulates under the kind of the side pod, the side as opposed to the AirPod, it just works for me. That's the blueprint.
Yeah, I mean, you did mention Hugo Boss. Now, Hugo Boss were a Mercedes sponsor a while ago, but I also love the Boss on the wing mirrors. They look absolutely epic. Abby, any thoughts, anything to add on the Aston Martin?
It's a gorgeous looking car. The British Racing green, the fluorescent yellow. It is simple and it works. Last year, the Aston Martin was my favourite out of all the liveries. This one isn't quite my favourite, but it is in my top three because it is stunning.
Yeah, again, it's one of those, there are others that have got better. I don't think it's necessarily got worse.
No, it definitely hasn't got worse.
No. Now, one that I think everyone thinks has got better apart from me. Up next on the list is the McLaren. Now, this is another one that seems to be splitting opinions within the Formula Nerds team. I'll start off by saying I still don't like it. Now, this is probably tied with my worst livery this year. I just don't like it. And the reason I don't like it is because you might think that the team is called Chrome rather than McLaren. Now, spot where it says McLaren on the side view, it doesn't. It says Chrome. That's the most visible thing. I understand teams have to have sponsors, but I feel like this has gone too far. It's almost Chrome Racing Team. James, I'm going to hand it over to your thoughts on the McLaren.
Well, I mean, on touching on that sponsor thing, I think that's not rare. I mean, I don't think many teams will have their team name somewhere visible on the side unless they're lacking in sponsors to the point where it looks weirdly blank without them, which I think McLaren may have been at one point in the past. Yeah, it's a little busy. Sam and I waged war about this about 12 months ago. I loved the McLaren at the start of 2022. We spoke about this on the podcast, so we'll try not to tread over the same ground again. I do still like it. I like it a lot. It's in my top half, I would say, because I personally love the papaya and their electric blue. I think that's a combo that works. It's very Miami Dolphins. I still don't like the addition of the chrome. That means that there are just too many colors on it, though, for me now.
Yeah, I just want to go back to your point, Ollie, about having the name on the car. The car's bright orange. Do you need the name on the car?
Well,
isn't it fairly obvious that it's the McLaren?
You say this because when James just said
McLaren, it's the orange one.
When James just said, "I can't," I'm not sure how many cars have their name on the side. I thought, have I just been a complete idiot? So I did check. AlphaTauri have the name on the side. Alpine have the name on the side.
That's the sponsor.
Alfa Romeo have the name on the side. Red Bull have the name on the side. McLaren don't. Haas do, obviously. Williams do. Aston Martin do just. Ferrari have the logo. And Mercedes.
Yeah, I mean,
the
Ferrari
engine.
Last year only had the tiny Ferrari logo on the nose.
Yeah.
It didn't even have Ferrari written on the rear wing.
Yeah.
And everyone loved it.
It's a good point.
James is still upset 12 months on. going back to the McLaren, I gave it a 4 out of 10 last year. And someone said that I artistically had no taste. People said I obviously had no taste. One person went as far as saying that I was colorblind. So if I was colorblind, I wouldn't be able to notice that they've slightly refined both the papaya and the blue this year. And that has made a big difference to me. Also, they've clearly deployed the black as the secondary color and the blue as the tertiary color, which wasn't the case last year. They've made some really subtle changes to this livery. And it's made a big difference. Yes, it's busy, but you know, you need money from somewhere, right? But it is a lot nicer than last year, in my view.
If you look, they've actually got a little bit of black separating the orange and the blue, sorry, papaya and blue, everywhere. They never meet. I think that helps it a lot. I mean, I think it's great. I think that the grid needs that colour, especially this year.
Yes. And also the colour of the number on the nose is now black, not blue. And I think that makes a big difference. Also, the black is kind of a slightly off black. It's kind of got a little bit of brown in there, which again, I think works.
I think it's shiny. Abby, the resident McLaren fan, what do you make of your favourite team's livery this year?
Right, so I love the team. However, this sounds laughing at me already.
I just love the...
It was...
Right.
Right. I'm taking names. Like, it was probably like, I'm about to completely unravel here.
Abby, it's your time.
So this was the livery that I was battling with as to whether to put it above Alfa Romeo, and I've actually put it below Alfa Romeo because I like the papaya and I like the black. However, it kind of looks like a deluxe paint color chart because there are so many different colors on there. You've got all the chrome and then the blue in the chrome is different to the blue on the car. You've then got a bit of yellow and the papaya and the red and the green and the black. And there's just too much going on. I'm not a massive lover of it. I must be honest. I love the team, but I'm not a massive lover of this livery.
What was that patchwork elephant called? Elmo?
Elmer. I've got a big, I don't know where it's gone, but I've got a big drawing of Elmer. My dad's an artist, or well, an art teacher, artist, and he drew me a massive Elmer when I was little that was on my wall. And it was on my wall a few years ago.
Until they released the McLaren.
And I thought, no, you've ruined Elmer.
But yeah, I see what you're, Abby. I think you've verbalised it in the way I feel. So yeah, okay, good. Moving on to the Ferrari now. I know we have discussed this one on the show before. I love it. I like the introduction of more black. I just think it looks mean, and that's what you want from a racing car. It looks like, ugh. If you know what I mean. Do any of you know what I mean by when I go, it looks, ugh?
No, I think you might need to do that one more time just so we really get the essence of it.
No.
It's like Simba roaring or practicing as roaring.
No, it looks mean. I love it. I think it is Well, it's up there with my top. So, Abby, what do you make of the Ferrari?
It does look good. I like the mix of the red and the black. I prefer it to last year's car. It's in my top five. I prefer some others, but it is a very nice looking car and it does look very smart and very elegant.
That's actually a little bit controversial. I thought that was a shoo-in for like everyone's top three.
Nope. Sorry. It's not.
Right. Nope. Abby's taking names again.
I say it's in my top five. It just made my top five. It's number five on my list. Yeah.
So I think it's on the edge of my top three. It's third or fourth. It's close on that.
Decisive we have here.
Fourth is not in your top three.
Yeah, well, I haven't decided. Okay, I'm supposed to have decided. I'm torn. Anyway, I think the extra black on the... Is it Siva? I'm assuming it's pronounced. I think that's a little bit clumsy between the shell and the Ray-Ban. The fact that it goes like red and then there's just like a little chunk of black and then it goes back to red again. I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of that. I like the extra black on the actual, like, towards the back of the car. I think the number is great because it's actually visible for once. Yeah, my minor gripe is the little bit of black in the middle and also the fact they've done nothing with the rims.
I think in isolation, I get what you're saying. However, I think you also need to see the black on the end, the back of the engine cover. That brings it all together. My issue with the splatters of black is the one on the side of the nose. What's the long bit where they put their legs? You know, that bit.
What? We are Formula Nerds. Well, so far we've forgotten the word for side pod.
Monocoque.
Wing mirror.
It has been a long day. Yeah, that's my... I would have liked to have seen the Ferrari on the rear wing be yellow. But everyone wanted the car to be yellow. I would like their car to be white and blue.
Oh, like the 60s or 50s, whenever it happened. Yeah. I like that the fact... Yeah, sorry, just to add that they've actually permanently added the Ferrari to the back wing, which is just bizarre to me that they didn't. It just had a plain black wing last year for most of it, apart from the Italian Grand Prix. Yeah, I think the end plates were black last year. So it kind of looks like they've just taken the black from that, inverted it and whacked it on the middle of the side pod.
Mm. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next one, which is Mercedes. Now, this is the one that shocked everyone, or did it, because they accidentally did a trial stream. Well, it was Petronas who did a trial stream on YouTube and showed the car before the launch.
Mercedes also have the least subtle social media manager in the history of social media managers. For weeks, they were banging on about black Mercedes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, yeah, everyone knew it was coming. Ollie, you didn't know it was coming on the day of launch.
No, I didn't.
I said, it's going to be black. And you were like, no, it's not.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd go back to black for various reasons we won't go into, but they have gone back to black, or 10% of it, I believe, is the estimate of how much black there is on it. The rest is carbon fiber. Nevertheless, this is a beautiful looking machine, and I haven't really seen many. I mean, there are the idiots on the internet who, you know, say that black is white, but there are people who don't like it, but not many of them. This is a very, very good looking car. Now, my only gripes with this are that the parts on the inside of the wheel that are green do not match the Petronas green or Petronas sort of aqua color. That's really bothered me. But apart from that, I don't really have any gripes on this.
This is a standard part for a lot of the launches. It was green on the Alpine. Looking at this Ferrari render that I'm looking at here, it looks pretty green.
It's yellow on the Aston, though.
Is it yellow on the Aston?
Yeah, it's red on the Haas.
But why would it be green on the Alpine?
Well, I don't know. I mean, again, you know, race parts may be different, but that just bothered me because they clash. I do like the top, that the Ineos is not completely red. They've only got a little bit of red. And they kept the Niki Lauda star, which is possibly my favourite part of the car.
Where is the star? I meant to look for that.
Yeah, so it's just beneath the Ineos red air intake.
I can see a little red dot. Okay, yeah. I hope
above
that.
The
I was
AMG.
Sure it would be there somewhere.
Yeah.
AMD, sorry.
At launch, I thought they'd missed it, but the social media managers then brought attention to it.
Trusty Mercedes social media manager. Shall we talk about the green 63?
Shall
we get the elephant out the room?
Go on then.
Is that get the elephant out
That's
the room?
That's not how it works.
Let's get the elephant out of the room. Or should we discuss the elephant in the room?
Let's get it out the room.
Bloody Elmer. Honestly, we started him off. Sam, I'm just... Yeah, you continue with this. Go.
Oh, I'm such a fucking idiot. Right. I love the green 63. I think it works wonderfully. I love how much it clashes with both the teal of Petronas and George Russell's helmet. I love it. I think it works really, really well. I like how much the yellow pops on Lewis's car. I love the green. It's bold. I've seen people actually criticising George Russell on social media for it, as if it was his choice. Do you not think he would have gone, can't I have it the same colour as my helmet? They probably didn't even ask him. It probably wasn't even... You know what? He probably doesn't care.
Yeah.
So
two questions.
Yeah, I love it.
I've forgotten one of them. Immediately.
This is going well. It can't have been the elephant out the room, can it? But go on.
So two questions. Where has the green come from? Like, Mercedes have never had green before. Where is that come from? And two, how can you like how much something clashes with something, Sam?
Because sometimes clashes work, sometimes they don't. And you know what? You know where the green's come from? Some intern sitting in some strategy meeting has gone, what if we make George's, number green? And then someone more senior turned around and said, by George, Russell, he's got it. And they did it. Ugh. The mad bastards, they did it.
Because Lewis's number is this matches his helmet, right? It's that fluorescent yellow, which looks really good. But yeah, George's, interesting decision. Abby, what do you make of the new Mercedes W14?
I love it. I loved the black Mercedes back in 2021 and it is so much better, in my opinion, than last year's livery with the silver. I prefer a black Mercedes. It is just so nice and it just looks really sleek. And the Petronas colours are really nice as well because it matches my blind. It's just a really nice looking car.
So I'm sure they took that into account.
I have to throw this to James. Sam, I know you're chomping at the bit to say something here, but James came up with the best nickname for this car, didn't you? And I said, we have to get that into the podcast. So here's your moment.
Oh, thanks for setting it up so beautifully. Well, yeah, I think it's fitting that, everyone's saying, oh, their heritage is silver, but their heritage is silver because they stripped all the paint off the car originally. German racing colours were previously white. And so now they've stripped it all off and down to the carbon. And so now it can be a carbon arrow instead of the silver arrow.
It was never the black arrow, though, was it?
Back in the room.
It was never the black arrow. Go on, Sam. What are you dying to say?
People will be critical of the fact that they've taken the whole exposed carbon thing to the absolute extreme. And they have. But going back to what I was saying earlier about if you're going to do something, do it. They have fully embraced it. They thought, you know what? We're going to just take all the paint off it. We need to save money. We need to save weight.
I'm sure they've saved a few quid as well, but that wasn't where you were going.
Home base.
Cost cap.
Yeah.
Yeah, they break the cost cap in like 9 or something. Like, yeah, but it was the paint. almost as ridiculous as, sorry, we had to feed people. So yeah, I mean, I think they've fully gone for it and it works.
I expected them to go with all those hints towards black. I thought they were going to go back to kind of 2019, like where it went from silver to black. I didn't think I would say that they were going to go full black. So that was a pleasant surprise. It looks so mean. It's got the whole. I can't wait for the first mock-up of it with the Empire's music from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. It's great.
And I think I love this, the black more because it was, it was part of this, what I recall to be the most exciting point of Mercedes' sort of time in F1. It's what you see fighting with Verstappen. You know, that's what you think of. You don't think of Lewis and Nico Rosberg because it was so long ago mainly, but they just didn't look as mean when you have that black Mercedes fighting that Red Bull. There's something so about it.
But in part, I think that's because the cars during that era looked so clumsy.
Yeah, you're right. You are right. Okay, so that's Mercedes. We all like that. No surprises there. And the last one we've got is the Alpine. Now, again, sort of mixed reactions to this. There's just nothing to it, in my opinion. It's just got that pink that shouldn't be there. They've then tried to... It's basically a hybrid of the pink Racing Point and the new Alpine. I'm not a fan at all. Guys, who wants to take it?
It's rubbish. I don't like it, and it's let me down so hard again. Like, I remember saying when we spoke about it last year, I had high hopes. I remember that I liked that Brabham, the Damon Hill Brabham, that was like blue and light blue and pink, and showed that it can work. It just doesn't. The pink's too wishy-washy, and they've made it even worse than last year. They did get rid of like my main gripe last year, where the I can't remember the name of the sponsor, something like at Map 3 or something, that was just next to the cockpit.
The red.
Which was red that clashed with the pink. That's gone, but still somehow it's worse. That entire black stretch towards the back that looks like, I don't know, what does it look like? The bulbous random bit towards the engine cover.
It looks like an F3000 car from the late 90s.
That's it, yeah.
The little kind of, I don't even know what
they
it
had
was.
The little like turbo. Jet engine kind of, yeah.
Yeah, was it the turbo? Or I don't know what it was. Maybe. I was like 4. I had a video for that season. James, I think one of us might be colorblind, because I think that the pink is quite bold. I know that's not how colorblindness works before anyone gets kind of, you know.
It looks kind of bold, but like when you put it on the entire car, which I think is a slight improvement, that one they're going to be using a few times, it shows up that it's not that bold. Just to finish my gripe about the weird turbo bit, then they whacked the number on it. So most of the number goes over the top of it and you can't see it. Mm-hmm. That really annoys me, like irrationally annoys me.
One thing I have just noticed as well, they've done the wheel covers. So the front wheels are blue and then the back ones are pink. I've only just noticed this. It's awful.
Okay, let's try and be positive. I quite like the little turbo kind of shape thing. And actually, they're not alone in doing that. There's a lot of cars that look like it. It kind of reminds me how some of the late 90s cars had a bit of bodywork that would connect the rear wing from the main chassis. But I really like what they've done with the wheel covers. I think that looks quite cool, where the front ones are predominantly blue with a bit of pink and the rear ones look to be predominantly pink with a little bit of blue. I quite like that. I think this could be a bit of a grower in terms of how people feel about this livery. I don't love it. I ranked it 9th out of 10. But I'm trying to be positive. And also, the Alpine blue is a really nice blue, let's face it. But they nailed it their first year as Alpine, comparative to the later ones. And I don't like the triangular bit at the back. So I've tried to be positive and I ended up being negative. It's not as nice as last year's car.
Abby, is it a shower or is it a grower?
I didn't like last year's car at the beginning. That was my worst. But then when it was on track, I liked it a bit more. But this year, I don't like the pink. And I really don't like the all pink Alpine, which they're running in the first three races. I prefer the blue and the pink, but it's still not that nice to look at for me. Just the blue and the pink, the clash, I just don't like it. But I do like the sponsor plug on the inside of the end plate on the front wing, because it looks like a little smiley face.
That's adorable. I'm going to take us back down to being grumpy old men again, because I just remembered another thing that annoys me about it, which is that the BWT blue doesn't match the Alpine blue. And I feel like
all in, you know, your heart out.
Oh my yeah, God, like it doesn't.
They could have, you know, they've taken half the damn car and made it pink for their own benefit. They could have at least, you know, slightly lightened the blue of their logo to make it match. I'm with Sam and not Ollie on the rims. I think they're kind of cool, but I don't like the triangles.
Okay, so that's our rundown of the F1 liveries for 2023. Now, we did get the opportunity to speak to Lewis Hamilton, George Russell, and Mick Schumacher at the Mercedes launch this week. Here is what they had to say.
Hi, Lewis. It's Ollie from Formula Nerds. It's your 17th season in Formula One. Now, you've achieved more than any or many people thought was even possible in the sport. Do you still feel that level of excitement and passion for F1 like you did in your first season?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I wouldn't say that that's been the case like every single season. But as I said, I had this great break and can't remember the last time I felt as excited to get in the car to even test. Like, I've done two test days already before this day, which I never do. So tire tests at that. So yeah, I'm excited to, I feel reinvigorated, really excited to work with the team. It's been great to see just how focused everybody is, how pumped everyone is. It's been, obviously I saw the car in the wind tunnel in December, and then just as I said, this week is the most exciting week when you see all these pieces come together, and then the car just looks streamlined. It looks, you can see it's an evolution. When you have the meeting and they take you, you know, with the 40 engineers or 40-50 engineers, and they take you through what they've done, why they've done it, and what we're hoping to get from it, it's like you've got, it's like Christmas. You're just waiting to be able to open your present and get in. So yeah. And it's another season. I feel physically great. I'm very much focused on trying to raise the bar in that area. And and it's gonna be a challenge. And that's what I live for.
Thank you.
Hey George, how are you?
Very good. Yourself?
Good, thank you. I just wanted to ask, obviously you did have a bit of a good experience with the W13 last year. And I just wanted to know if you then developed a good luck ritual after your win in Brazil, and if you're going to be taking that forward in this season.
No, not at all. I don't really believe in any of that. I'm trying to think right now if there was anything spectacular that happened, let's say that weekend off track, that it maybe needs to carry forward. But the only thing I remember is I had a really good night's sleep on the Saturday night. So I saw the marketing. Exactly. Less marketing. but no, not really. Not really.
Hi, Mick. I hope you're well. How important do you feel that this season and this step is for you and your career?
It's definitely a privilege being part of Mercedes, but you know, more than that, it's also a place where I always felt at home. So maybe not in terms of racing, like the step that I wanted, but I think that definitely in many ways it is another way of improving my driving and improving myself as a racing driver. So. I'll hopefully be as much of a help to the team, but I'm sure that, you know, with everything that the team has done in the past, but also with all the experience they have, I'll be able to use a lot of that for myself. So to grow as a driver and as a driver.
All right, so to finish the show, what I think we should do, guys, is give our top three liveries in order, and then name who you think is the worst. So, Sam, I'm going to start with you because our listeners may have already read it. If they go to formulanerds.com and read all of the amazing pieces of work that we do. But give us your top three and then who you thought had the worst livery.
Okay, so top three. Between two and three, I was umming and ahhing, but I've gone for Aston Martin in third place. In second, I've gone for Ferrari. It's no real surprises there. And my favourite livery of the year is obviously the Mercedes. I feel like I'm going to start a bit of a trend here. And my least favourite, It wasn't even that close, to be honest. It was the Aftari. I just can't get on with it.
All right. Thank you, Sam. Abby, I'm going to throw it to you next. So your top three and your least favourite livery.
My least favourite is the same as Sam's, Aftari. I don't particularly like that compared to all the others. My one in third is Aston Martin, much like Sam. But my second favourite livery is actually Williams. And then Mercedes is my ultimate favourite.
Okay, all right. And James McKenzie, before I do mine.
I'm just going to say the same as Abby. I mean, you may as well carry on. I was a bit more torn between the Alpine and the AlphaTauri. I was leaning towards the AlphaTauri, maybe for the sake of variety, very, very slight variety. I'm going to amend it and say Alpine's my worst, and I'll chuck the Ferrari into third rather than the Aston, because Williams is second.
Okay, all right. Well, yes, my least favourite was the Alpine. My third favourite was Williams. My second favourite was the Ferrari, and my first was a unanimous decision for the Mercedes W14. So listen, let us know what you think. Email us, info@formulanerds.com. Tell us if we're completely wrong, if we're barking up the wrong tree, or more preferably, tell us if you agree with us. So F1 starts this week coming. Now, this is very exciting. It's been far too long since we've seen an F1 car going around a track. Sam, tell us the testing schedule for the week.
So the testing schedule for the week is F1 is back in Bahrain, where they tend to go for testing these days. Poor Barcelona. It's a thing of old. But yes, F1 is back in Bahrain ahead of the first round, which is obviously in Bahrain. And that is kicking off on Thursday, the 23rd of February. It's a 3-day test. If you're in the UK, that test runs daily from 7 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. And I actually think this year, to return to how they used to do things, it is being broadcast. I believe it's on Sky Sports F1. So if you want to check that out, you can do. All you need is a Sky subscription. And I don't work for Sky.
And use promo code. No, we don't have one. We do not work for Sky. We are not affiliated with Sky. But that's where you can see it. And on the 24th, we've got something else coming out, which is rather exciting. Abby, what can we watch on the 24th?
You can watch 10 episodes of Drive to Survive Season 5 following the 2022 F1 season.
So next Sunday, we are going to be back with our 2023 season predictions. So we will have seen summer testing, and we're going to tell you what we think the season is going to look like. But before then, James, we do have another podcast coming out.
We do, as ever. We'll update you on all the news. It's from the last few days and the next few days on News from the Nerds on Wednesday.
So we hope you've enjoyed the show. Let us know what you think, and we will be back next week. Thank you very much, Abby.
Thank you for having me. It's been a really fun show to record.
Thank you very much, James McKenzie.
Thank you. Merci.
And Sam, do you have an outro for us?
The time has come to end the Cut the Race show. No, I'm not going to do it in full. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure as always.
Not at all. I thought you were going to go for it. By the way, if you haven't heard the end of the news podcast where Sam wrote a poem for the outro, go and listen to it. It's the last one we did. But until then, we will see you next week. Goodbye.
You're listening to the Cut to the Race podcast. It's lights out and away we go.
Podcast Network.